And welcome in to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's where you'll find us, at VeritasMedical.com. Check it out today. Well, let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Wade, I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yes, sir. It's hard not to enjoy a little drizzle and cool weather. Couple of announcements real quick before we jump into another great show. Got another testimonial today. I'll be giving a talk down in Midland tomorrow, October 18th at 5:30. That's at Far West Coffee. You can go to simplymidland.com and get tickets there. That's tomorrow night at 5:30 in Midland. I kind of don't want to go off on this tangent too much, but I'm going to recommend Steve Kirsch's Substack to you. Steve's just, he was on our show last October, and man, he is hitting it out of the park with bringing some truth to the whole COVID thing. Unfortunately, there's still people that need to wake up, but they're waking up more and more and more. He had an article out this weekend on Doug Brignoli. And I did not know who Doug was, but he was former Mr. American, Mr. Universe. Really, really fit guy, only 63 years old. And I haven't, like I said, I don't know him. I'm assuming he's a fairly healthy guy. What Steve Kirsch put out about him, though, he passed away suddenly, unexpectedly. Same as cross-country bike rider out of Scotland, fit, in shape. I think he was 37, died suddenly 2 days after his championship. He won another championship. It's sad to see these, all these sudden adult death folks coming. And the number of doctors now in Canada is up to 80. I gave a talk last month and it was at 33. It's jumped to 80 in the past month. Young doctors, otherwise healthy. Some had cancer, and their cancer came roaring back, and that's what we're seeing, a big uptick in cancer. Ryan Cole talks about that, and Steve Kirsch interviewed Ryan Cole this weekend on a Substack. So if you know someone who needs to get more informed, get on there and check it out on Steve Kirsch's Substack. All right, let's jump into our show today. It's going to be a good one. We've been doing a lot of testimonials lately. And, the main reason, I think, is because it's powerful. I know when I first started learning the truth in medicine about 10 years ago, it was personal testimonies. Conventional medicine calls that anecdotal. And actually, we're trained to not even really consider anecdotal reports. We need randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind, reproducible. And I'm nothing against that, unfortunately. Half those studies have to be retracted. I just read this weekend some major publication or publisher is going to have to retract like 500 studies. There's all kinds of conflict of interest, bias, manipulation of the data. We've talked about it many times on the show. The whole Alzheimer's theory of amyloid beta plaque just got blown up because it turns out the original article in 2006 was completely fraudulent. It cut and pasted the images. Anyways, not going to go off on that tangent, but it's almost like history. You go and find history books pre-1900, or you read letters from family members back in the 1800s and early 1900s. There's a whole different history. It's almost like, is anything true that we're learning? So I almost have to look someone in the eyes and discern when they're telling me their story. Is this guy telling me the truth? And ultimately, it was 10 very sick patients that I sent to an integrative doctor, and they all came back well. And these were my own patients. I didn't need a randomized placebo-controlled trial. These were 10 super sick patients that had been all over the place, all kinds of doctors, and they came back well. And it showed me the body can heal itself if you give it what it needs, avoid what it doesn't. So that's what we've been doing for 10 years. Then I had this PA show up from East Texas one day. And somewhere in those conversations, I think he quoted the former CIA, head of CIA, William Casey, wasn't it, Micah?
Yes, they were.
And it was something to the effect, and Micah could tell you exactly, but We'll know our goals complete when everything the American public thinks is a lie. Something along those lines.
That was pretty close.
Yeah. You don't go look that up. William Casey, former director of CIA. And, you know, as believers, we know there is an enemy of the truth, and he's a deceiver and a liar, and the love of money, the root of all evil, is behind a whole lot of stuff. The Federation of State Medical Boards, that's an organization that drives a lot of influence through the medical boards across the whole world. I'll put a video up later on Telegram today, and y'all can listen to that. But my point is, man, when you hear a testimony from someone, pay attention. And the word says that the dragon will be overcome by the blood of the lamb, and the witness, the word of the witnesses, or the testimony of the saints. So here we go. We got Micah Jackson in the house today, live in studio, and Terry Kemp's joining us too. Just to share the story. And Micah, I don't know how much you want to share of your journey into, we didn't really talk about this before the show, but share if you want to a little bit about you know, who you are, what you do, and all that, and then, you know, just let you take it from there.
Well, you know me, I can talk for hours, so I'm going to try to keep this very brief.
Put the kibosh on you if you go too long.
So, Dr. Ben and I met probably about 4.5 years ago, maybe getting close to 5 years ago. I was in conventional medicine, starting to become very frustrated with the lack of options and treatment modalities and whatnot, and starting to learn a little bit about, you know, we had a kind of a similar awakening. So, long story short, my mom, I was venting to one day, and she said, you know, you ought to call this doctor. He came and spoke at our church. And I said, well, I think that's a good start. So I looked up Dr. Ben, and I saw the website at veritasmedical.com, and I was like, all right, I think this guy's somebody that I could probably work with. And so I reached out to him via email, and it was probably, 6 months later, I sold everything in East Texas, moved to West Texas, and I worked at Veritas for just over about 4 years. Fantastic experience, learned a lot, really got to hone my practice in what I call terrain medicine. Dr. Ben's four pillars being the foundation of that. In the last couple of years, I've started my own company, Worldview Wellness. Website's worldviewwellness.com. And ultimately, how I came to do that, my dad was diagnosed with cancer and was given options at Veritas Medical to help to boost his immune system so that his body could help to fight the cancer. And in that process, I came to know Nasha Winters, who's one of the world's most recognizable functional integrative oncologists, board certified, and took her course through the Metabolic Terrain Institute of Health called the Metabolic Approach to Cancer.
And I interviewed Dr. Winters. Y'all can go back on the podcast archive page, July 13th of 17. It's crazy. It's been that long. Dr. Winters is great, great doctor, but go ahead, Micah. Mm-hmm.
So it's been a little over 2 years now since I took her course and have been certified in this approach, which is essentially the same thing that Veritas was doing back in the day, which is to basically focus on the terrain, do a lot of really in-depth testing to evaluate the different elements of the terrain. Dr. Nasha has basically broken that down into 10 terrain elements, and so I evaluate those based on a very in-depth intake form, pick all of the appropriate detailed specialty tests in order to evaluate that terrain, and then make recommendations for IV treatments, light therapies, supplements, and then just general lifestyle recommendations, and it tends to really help out.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, there's so many great integrative doctors out there. The ones I always gravitated towards were the ones that focus mostly on the terrain, because to me that translates to you're letting the body's own design and intelligence come through. You know, there's a lot of green version of pharmaceutical base, where you're just chasing symptoms with supplements and IVs, and to a degree, you know, that's fine. You know, especially initially, kind of helping someone pull them off the edge of the cliff, maybe, so to speak. But ultimately, the more we can get hands off and just let the God-given design do what it needs to do, you know, the better. So, in that, we came to the conclusion it would be great for Micah to just pursue his passion, which is learn more, dive in more deeply, and commit to, you know, the terrain at a level that, you know, folks with the diagnosis of cancer can feel confident. They can get some wise counsel. So anyways, let's talk about one of those today.
Absolutely. We have Terry Kemp with us here today and his wife, Debbie. So Terry was diagnosed with prostate cancer that March 2022, right?
I'm pretty sure that's about right. My mind was not very clear.
Right. And so Terry was diagnosed basically due to fatigue and pain, from what I recall.
Yes.
He was in severe pain. For those of you who know anything about PSAs, his PSA, which should be in the conventional recommended reference ranges between 0 and 4, Terry's PSA was over 5,000. So he was a very sick guy. And he had been on androgen deprivation therapy, and it just didn't seem like very much was working for him. Whenever his family reached out to us to see if there was anything that we could do for him, I, in a reserved way, said I think that we could at the very least help with quality of life, because in that situation, you know, it's not all that uncommon to not see great progress. But in any way, or in any event, Terry had multiple bone metastasis, ribs, spine, skull, pelvis, pretty much everywhere. He was in just, like I said, a great deal of pain, hugely elevated PSA. He was confused. And luckily for him, he's got a great family.
That's absolutely a world greatest support team.
Absolutely, yeah. And that was one of the things that was really encouraging to my wife, Ty, and I. And so when we did his consultation, we do everything over the computer, over Zoom conference. And so when we did his consultation, he pretty much had everybody front and center. His entire family was there and willing to help. And so that's how we got started with Terry. And so I think I just want to let Terry tell the rest of the story.
Well, I'm not a very good storyteller. I've never spoken in front of people, but I'm going to try my best.
You just forget that mic right in front of your face, Terry. We just have a conversation.
Okay. But I have to thank God first.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I know he directs our path, we ask him.
That's right.
And there's no telling what I told him I would do. Mm-hmm. And when I was the most desperate, I know that I wanted to be here with what he's given me, the family he's given me, is I just had to have more time, and that's what I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely given me quality of life that's beyond my explanation. I know by crossing paths with you guys. And I just don't like I can't keep from loving you to death. I love people anyway, but when they help you up out of the bot from the bottom, I mean, when you're through and they help get you going again, I can't describe how much I appreciate you for that.
Well, all the glory to God.
Amen. But it's quality of life. It's wonderful. My life is beautiful right now.
And praise God for that.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Amen.
Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, just so the audience gets to know you a little bit, kind of coming into this. I'm assuming you weren't real holistically minded. Were you pretty standard American in your behavior and in your medical background and all that?
Just average old country boy, just a working man and very average. But at the same time, as far as health goes, I always thought that if you knew what to eat and what to take and what, yeah, I knew God put everything here to take care of us, and if you just knew what to do. But I never had much sickness. You know, I had I did have heart trouble, and I've had an open heart surgery, but I've done really, really well from it, and it made me more conscious of eating healthy and what I needed to try to make it more of an effort to do. Well, then when this came up, well, it was a relief. Actually, too, I've got to give credit to my kids. They've done a lot of research, and they ran across you guys, and they wanted to help. And I finally got to the shape. I said, whatever you want me to try to do, I'm willing to try, because I trusted their decision actually better than I did my own. And because my mind was so unclear at the time. And anyway, I've always leaned towards knowing that this was possible if you just knew how to do it. But I didn't know how to do it, but you guys have an idea how to do it. And I'll forever be thankful for that fact.
Well, like I said, I'm thankful to God every day that He's opened our eyes and, you know, established a path for us to walk down to be able to help you and folks like you. But so, all the glory to God.
Amen.
So when you first came in, you know, obviously your family had researched and you'd probably listened a little bit, but you said your mind was probably not the most clear. What was the most challenging thing initially as you started out on this path?
Well, I don't know, just taking the first step. But after that, I've got better so quick, it seems like to me. I could ask my wife for sure, but like in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something, it was a turnaround, a real quick turnaround on the pain. And I've just steadily gotten better to this day. I'm very minute. It may not, I don't even want to say I have any pain. It may be a little ache or something, but I'm 69 years old. You know, those might be kind of come with the territory, you know.
Well, and so, you know, from my recollection, and then of course we had a little conversation before the show got started, I remember doing your initial consult, and I can't remember if it was you, Debbie, or if it was Jelaine, who let Tyre I know that you may not be completely with us during that consult, because he was up all night screaming and for Jesus,
yes,
to help him.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's how bad his pain was. He was in just horrible, horrible pain.
I do remember 2 days and nights. I don't think I slept over an hour.
Yeah.
And at that particular time, and I hadn't slept well in no telling how long. You know, I actually have been having trouble for way too long to not go try to get some help. Probably 2 years I know ago it was starting,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I just hurt my back, you know, and so I went to think I would back off, and it seemed to get a little better,
mm-hmm.
but then it would return, and then just over that time it gradually got worse and worse to the point that I was so desperate,
mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it was really hard to. I was going to a chiropractor, and he realized I needed more help, so he sent me to a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeon sent me to the oncologist. But through the process, it was really hard to get to see anybody.
Right.
In that time, too, is really frustrating when I think back about it, because I went months before you could see somebody. It seemed like sometimes.
Well, and I think everybody could probably identify a little bit with that, especially since COVID's started all of the standard
yes.
care medicine providers. You know, it's definitely not the same as it was before COVID.
Right. It's really difficult, and this is so good what y'all have going on.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
It seems like I had a patient last week where that thought came to me. Just listening to her story, it was her first visit with us, but months and months she was waiting to get in with some specialist, and you know, that thought crossed my mind. It sounded more and more like that, what you hear out of, you know, Great Britain or wherever, socialized medicine, where there's months and months of a waiting time for the basic things, you know, when someone needs a doctor. So yeah, we're seeing that more and more and more. So basically, once you got in, because you were under the care of urologist, oncologist, maybe someone else, but basically what did they tell you and what did they offer you?
Well, it seems to me like, well, it was stage 4 prostate cancer, just like Micah described, and to me, they're traditionally you're going to get about four different things they'll do, which would be immunotherapy, radiation, and chemo or operation, you know, surgery. And it was like I don't mean to knock it, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the fact of where medicine has came, you know. But it's like, that's the only way you can do it, you know. It's like there's nothing else out there. And there is. I mean, I know for a fact now that, and I'm still not knocking the regular medicine. I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't do something if I needed to or try to, something different, but at this time I don't feel any reason to go any other direction. I mean, as long as you're doing good and the quality of life we've been talking about, it's crazy to do anything any different as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And but at the same time, I appreciate the fact that, you know, I'd like to see the best of both worlds come together personally. It's what I'd like to see.
That would be incredible.
That's that true, integrative medicine. So,
yeah, that's what I long to see, too, the day when we can integrate in these various modalities. This has reminded me of, we had a Alyssa Perez on. That was February 21st of 22. Y'all can go back and listen to that on the archive page. She's a physician assistant at Wichita Falls, stage 4 ovarian, which, I mean, that's a pretty deadly diagnosis, kind of like stage 4 pancreatic, which we had Rick Beatmo on earlier. But Alyssa in particular, she did do chemo, but she integrated in some aggressive complementary and alternative medicine modalities. And her oncologist, as I recall from that interview, she was told, man, you're breezing through this chemo better than anybody. Mm-hmm. So from a standpoint of quality of life, help you with potential side effects, but also she went to disease-free pretty quick and has remained so, which is, again, very unusual for a stage 4 ovarian.
Yeah, she terrified me. she was my very first oncology patient, and she was a stage 4B high grade serous. I mean, this is like all of the things in cancer that you don't want to get as your very first oncology patient. And
right.
So yeah, she was terrifying to me. And then on top of that, she was also medically trained as a physician assistant. So that was even more terror, you know. But she's great, and she really and to her credit. And her interview is basically her testimony of this, but she we had a lot of conversations about her peace pillar.
Yeah, that's about to say.
We had a lot of conversations about that, and she really, like, it took her a little bit of time to really start to dive in deep there. She was always a believer. She was always very, you know, very motivated by her relationship with the Lord, but, you know, at some point, it was just like the straw that broke the camel's back. She just went all in with that peace pillar, and I really do believe that's probably the majority of what her outcome came from.
Yeah, I was about to chime in as we were basically defining who she was, a PA, medically trained, stage 4 ovarian, but it hit me, I think the Spirit, that she's a child of God.
Amen.
She's not a stage 4 ovarian, and she's not a PA. That's a diagnosis she had. That's the occupation she has. But her true identity is a child of God. And I think when that switch flipped in her heart, and she really knew that, I believe that's when things really, really changed. But going off on a tangent here, integrating in, and that's a big part of it, spiritual. I mean, gosh. In conventional medicine, I mean, there are published randomized controlled trials on prayer. I mean, you can point to evidence, quote-unquote evidence, in prayer. But we're talking about outside the physical realm. I mean, doctors aren't trained in that. And if you're a believer and the Word says we're a spirit being housed in the body, then we should probably address that.
Yeah.
When you can integrate in all these different things, it's a big, big deal. And the best outcomes, I've quoted them before, some various established cancer clinics from around the world that integrate in all these different things, nutrition and spiritual, and they get great, great results and outcomes compared to a standard conventional approach of pharmaceutical based only. So there's all kinds of evidence out there. It's just not widely reported on the nightly news or anywhere else. Shout out to Wade here having a platform where we can speak truth and not be muzzled by the pharmaceutical industry. And speaking of that, we probably need to pay some
which is a rarity. No, it is. I mean, it's we're proud to do it, and we want to grow the show even to more locations, get that word out, and because there's a war out there, fellas, on the media to tamp this kind of stuff down. And there's not very many, you know, outlets doing that anymore, or can do it, that will do it, because they're corporately owned. So
I mean, when you hear stories like this, the layperson and even medical people that contact me, they're like, well, why wouldn't the heads of these medical schools just be all over this? Why wouldn't the Texas Medical Board just be all over this, just night and day be searching the world for every single outcome and possible treatment modality that could benefit the people? Well, there's one answer to that. Money, money, money.
Yeah,
and
a big
I hate
money
to say it, but and people can't wrap their mind around that, so they won't even go there. So then they start calling you stuff like crazy, quack, conspiracy theorists. But the testimonies.
I've been called all those things.
Daily.
That's why we go to the testimonies, because you can't deny the man sitting in front of you, and your spirit will discern, is this the truth or is it not the truth? Is this guy making this up? Did this really happen? Is this just a crazy... And so that's an individual decision you make, and pray, and the Holy Spirit will lead you on what way to go and what to integrate in. Should you integrate in a little bit, a lot, or 100% of this and none of the other, or whatever? I'm never going to tell anyone that. You do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, then just do what the intellect and the research tells you to do. All right, we're up against the break. Wade?
When we get back, we do have some texts. If you'd like to text in, 806-745-5800. One texter asks about, can you get into any specifics about Terry's treatment when we come back from the break? Like exactly maybe some steps of what you took. You know, I mean, we talked about him when he showed up.
Right.
You know, some of the things and the skepticism and those kinds of things. But as you plug into the treatment protocols, what that might look like.
Sure. Yeah, we can get into that.
Okay, that'd be wonderful. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back with more right here. You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. And welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows, other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.
All right, we're back here with another testimony, Terry Kemp, today. You know, I was kind of saying how it's just so hard for people to believe. How could this be? And I just want to remind folks, a lot happened in the 1900s, specifically in the early 1900s, across the board, whether you're talking about the Federal Reserve coming in and the gold standard, that whole thing. But medical, sticking just to medical, 1910, the Flexner Report, when Carnegie and Rockefeller got together and decided to send Abraham Flexner out across the country to investigate all the different medical curriculum, medical schools. There were lots and lots of different medical schools out across the country. Homeopathic was huge back then. I think there were like 26 homeopathic medical schools, and they'd put out thousands of graduates. There were herbalists, there were chiropractic schools, there was naturopathic, there was all kinds of stuff. I mean, the World's Fair in 65 or something. It was amazing, the technologies, Tesla and all this stuff, just incredible breakthroughs were happening. But in the natural medicine realm, which is the only medicine man's ever known for thousands of years, all those different medical curriculum were evaluated by Abraham Flexner, and he came back and reported that there were too many different medical curriculum out there. We need to standardize it to the allopathic model. And so they did. Rockefeller and Carnegie put the money into the allopathic model, which is a pharmaceutical-based model, which happened to be mostly derivatives from the petroleum industry, which just happened to be 98% owned by Rockefeller at the time, Standard Oil. And everybody else, they got with the AMA and sort of undermined all the other, either outright outlawed them or undermined them or called them quacks or whatever, denigrated them in some way. But they put their money into the allopathic medical schools. They put a Rockefeller board member onto all the various boards of these universities and hospital systems. And there we go. It's been 110 years of allopathic medicine. And in the grand scheme of things, that's not long. 100 years of medicine versus thousands of years. And I would say we can probably declare now, or even before now, that it's a grand failure. And I don't want to say emergency medicine, trauma surgery, all that. No, that's great. Orthopedic, there's some amazing stuff when you get in a motor vehicle and you don't wear a seatbelt, or even if you do. I mean, injuries, trauma, that happens. That's amazing. But this chronic disease stuff, which is what we've seen in escalation over the past 100 years, there's been an avalanche, a tsunami, an absolute epidemic of heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, obesity, asthma, autism. You go back through all these, and the first cases ever reported were in the early 1900s. You know, we talk about vaccines all the time. We're not going to get into that now, but early 1900s, we saw a 99% drop in infant mortality from pertussis, which is whooping cough, from measles and scarlet fever and all these things before vaccines were introduced. A 99% drop in mortality with these infants because the terrain was cleaned up. The external terrain, specifically good sanitation, clean water and all that, better nutrition. When you get the terrain right, you know, that's where it's at. When it comes to medical education, it's clear. I mean, no one's going to debate you on this. It's pharmaceutical-driven symptom management. We manage people's asthma. We manage people's hypertension. We manage high blood sugar. We manage your ulcerative colitis flare-ups. We manage everything. We're not taught to resolve anything. We're not taught to answer the question, what's the root cause of this? How could cancer be so rare in the early 1900s that every single lung cancer case was reported in the medical literature, written up, and now it's just so prevalent? I'm just driving in today. Saw an ambulance going through town, and on the side of the ambulance was a billboard for a children's hospital, and it hit me. How crazy is it that we have to have an entire hospital named Children's Hospital? Kids aren't supposed to be sick, and kids used to not be sick. I mean, that, I've talked about before, Shut Your Mouth, Save Your Life is a book that was written in the early 1900s, late 1800s. George Catlin, he was a painter, an artist, and he traveled west during these epidemics of all these babies but dying in the big cities, New York City and Boston. It was a 50% infant mortality rate. And he went west and found Native Americans, and he interviewed the tribes' leaders, the elders and the chiefs of these various Native American tribes from Canada down into Mexico, all through the Americas. And he would ask them, how many of your babies die? And they looked at him like he was crazy. And they said, kids don't die, you know, unless there's a rare trauma like a horse kick to the head or a rattlesnake bite or something. That's how it was. Kids were healthy. We were healthy. Anyways, I need to get off my soapbox because we're here to hear from Terry. And we had a question before the break about specifics on treatment. And remember, complementary and alternative medicine, Rule 200 of the Texas Medical Code states that complementary and alternative medicine is allowable. It is legal. Now, you can't just do anything in the world, and that's why some people go international. But within the confines of complementary and alternative medicine to complement the standard of care that was offered and given or refused or failed, we can do some things to boost the immune system, to improve quality of life, to try to give your body what it needs and avoid what it doesn't need. So that's the context of what we're talking about here, complementing what the standard of care is and was in this case. So Micah or Terry, who both of y'all, get into a little bit of the details of what maybe was recommended first.
Well, so I guess, you know, to kind of piggyback on top of what you just said, I think that, you know, something that we would all agree on is that the best standard in medicine or really in anything is informed consent. Mm-hmm. And something that we've seen taken away from us in a lot of cases, especially since COVID now. But, you know, I really like to do things with that informed consent in mind. In Terry's case, after his initial consult, we basically went on a data gathering journey, and part of that was his genetics, part of that was his gut function, part of that was a really detailed look at his hormones, and then we also looked at toxins, heavy metals, you know, blood metals, that kind of thing. And so at the end of that workup, that took probably about 2 months or so in order to do all those tests and get them back. And that can be a really precarious time for the, for my clients, because they can, there's a lot of apprehension in that time, not knowing what these tests are going to show or what the plan's going to look like. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what we ended up doing with Terry is, a lot of what we did, or what I did, and what you do at Veritas, which is just, the basic four pillars. We want to look at the terrain. We want to evaluate the terrain on nutrition, hydration, movement piece. We want to really take a hard look and say, are you eating clean, good food? I take it then to the next step with probably the majority of my clients and put them on a ketogenic diet, which really targets the Warburg effect and targets the way that cancer cells make energy. I also look at water. We talk about water filtration and trying to, drink as clean of water as we can. We look at what kind of air you breathe in. Do you need air filtration? We look at how, what kind of exercise you're getting. We make recommendations for exercise, which in prostate cancer is actually really important, because the prostate's not a very not an organ in the body that gets a whole lot of blood flow in just a normal day-to-day sedentary lifestyle. I look at blood counts. We look at ferritin. Does the patient or does the client need a phlebotomy? We look at temperature treatment. So we've got Terry doing some sauna therapy. Cancer does not like heat. So when we heat the body up on a regular basis, it really doesn't like heat. We also, I always encourage my clients to go the opposite direction too and do some cold therapy as well. I think that really exercises the autonomic nervous system. We do have Terry on a pharmaceutical with ketoconazole right now, and that is to block and to shut down some hormone pathways. And then also, There's some speculation in the integrative oncology world about what is the cause of prostate cancer. And there's, as you're well aware, there's fungus as a potential cause, candida as a potential cause. And then also in the standard of care, everything, the blame always gets put on testosterone. And in my experience, I think that testosterone can, play a role, but I think that the bigger issue is estrogens and estrogen metabolism, which we definitely found Terry had some problems with. And so we've got him on a whole slew of supplements outside of that to just take care of all of these different aspects of his terrain. There really
I want to chime in real quick, estrogen, just because the average listener may think, wait a minute, Terry's a guy. Guys have estrogen too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's estrogen effects from the environment. We're actually consuming quite a bit of estrogen and estrogen metabolites and synthetic estrogens and estrogen mimickers from a standard American unclean diet and lifestyle. But also testosterone can get converted into estrogen. Our fat cells make estrogen, so there's definitely the estrogen effect in particular with prostate cancer. But anyways, Terry, any comment on any of these things you were doing? Seemed too challenging, seemed to really be like a real beneficial one, or were you just being obedient? Give me the list, let me do it, and let's get her done.
Being obedient, give me the list. My wife, at the time, I couldn't have set it up if I'd have tried. My mentality was not as such, but she's laid everything out, and you said, Dr. Ben Edwards, if Micah said to do something, do it. And so that's exactly what I've been trying to do. I have done most of what he's told me to do, and it's a work in progress.
Right.
I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do more and more.
It can be a lot. It can be very overwhelming. I don't think I've had any client as part of my service that hasn't been overwhelmed at least once or twice.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. As a spouse, family members, loved ones that are involved, how important that is.
Oh, it is.
To have so someone important. Walking with you, supporting you, cooking, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whatever you need. So want to maybe give a little opportunity for some input and encouragement to other family members, what they're thinking when a diagnosis like this comes in, and just what it looks like to walk this road a little bit.
Well, at first it's kind of blindsides you. and it's overwhelming. When we first got connected with Worldview Wellness, we had to fill out 52 pages of his history, and it's like, I had to do it all. He couldn't. The only thing I couldn't get was his dental, because I didn't know all that, and I know gathering up scans from others and sending it to them, they wanted the whole picture, and I remember driving away from one of the places. I get emotional.
That's all right. Tears are allowed.
Yeah. I said, this is the hardest job I've ever had. But after a while, it becomes second nature. You know, I started having to get up at 30 minutes earlier. I had to help him get up and get dressed in the mornings. And now he gets up early. He's just used to that now. Mm-hmm. And he challenges me sometimes. Can I have that on my diet? I look it up and I go, here it is. So it's been a journey. Mm-hmm. But just seeing the results of it, I mean, no one has seen what I've seen with him. Mm-hmm. It's a celebration every day. Right. So.
I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for her effort. I really don't think I'd be here today if she hadn't put forth the effort she put forth. God gave me much more than I'll ever deserve as far as a spouse.
I think one of the most touching moments, it's hard for me to tell. he plays in the praise team at church, and it got to a point where he couldn't, for a few weeks, he couldn't play because he couldn't make it up that far. And it got to where he'd go up there with his walker, and they'd help him on the stage, help him down. And then he got to where he was walking without his walker, and they'd help him up, help him down. And one morning, he was coming off the stage, and he shook their hand. Mm. And that touched everybody.
Wow. What a special story. And what a testament. Because I think, and maybe y'all could speak to this, it seems one of the first emotions that hits people's fear. And honestly, I mean, at least my recollection, I trained at MD Anderson. It's almost a, whether it's intentional or not, probably not, but a fear-based mentality. Mm-hmm. When you get that C word, and then it's, man, we got to get you in here by yesterday and get a port and get surgery and get chemo started yesterday, and it's rush, 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 fear, fear, fear. Mm-hmm. So maybe if y'all have a thought about that, how did fear come into this? What'd you do about it? Or maybe it never came into this, but speak to that, because it's such a common thing that people in y'all's shoes would experience.
I know when they were talking about immunotherapy, Terry knew what he was doing was helping, but he also was confused on whether he needed to go ahead and go through with that. And with the help of Micah, he helped ease his mind. He said, with the results you have so far and your numbers, he said, if it was me, I wouldn't do it right now. And when Terry let them know that, he had peace about him. I think my kids and myself were wanting him not to do it. I think because of him researching the side effects, all I could see was him going backwards, and we wanted quality. We didn't want to backpedal.
Hmm. Yep. Well, and I want to say on immunotherapy, really that, and I was reading an article, this is a couple years ago, you know, chemotherapy, surgery and radiation, that's the standard of care, three big therapies traditionally in oncology. And Nasha talks about this a lot in her book and her lectures, but it really hadn't budged cancer survivability, long-term survival rates haven't budged a whole lot. And then an article a couple years came out and said, hey, cancer survival rates improved a touch. And when you looked into the body of the paper, it talked about two things. One, because the question is, why did cancer rates improve? One was because more people have quit smoking. And number two was immunotherapy was being explored more and more. So in a nutshell, broadly speaking, what that means is trying to boost your own immune system to get in there and recognize the cancer and to kill the cancer. And there's ways to do that pharmaceutically, which is what the article was talking about. But obviously, there's ways to do that non-pharmaceutically. go outside and get some sunshine. That's immunotherapy. Get out of your seat. Sitting's a new smoking. Micah touched on with prostate cancer in particular. I mean, that's a type of immunotherapy. Loose, not the pharmaceutical, obviously. Changing the diet, you know, giving your immune system what it needs. 80% immune system's in the gut, and the gut microbes. So if you feed those guys some beneficial things, they're probably going to work better. So, you know, you really had employed a type of immunotherapy, you can say, not through a conventional mind definition of that. But what y'all were doing with the diet changes and the things, even the mindset is such a, has such an impact on your immune system. So anything that impacts the immune system to wake up and do its job, you could call that immunotherapy. So in a way you were, but the branch of immunotherapy that includes pharmaceutical, and in some cases the data is there to support it, in some cases it's not. Every case is individual and unique. Side effects have to be considered. Where are you at right now? As you said, the results, you'd already seen some great things, and that's pretty good standard rule of thumb across the board. Don't rock the boat if you're doing something that's working.
Exactly.
And I've said that to people who've come in doing conventional therapies for cancer. Man, for your particular cancer in this situation, your individual case, look what's happened. It's improved this much. But the beauty of doing more natural things, you can add in a good diet and sunshine and get out of your seat and move a little bit. And that's going to be nothing but positive.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be the negative side effects.
Solution-oriented.
So, there you go.
Well, you know, on that immunotherapy piece, you know, we've been talking about it on the Nation Network, you know, me and a lot of the other clinicians that have been under her training. The immunotherapy piece is really important because in the past 20, 30 years, as some of these immunotherapies have come out, they tend to be used as a last line. But if you look at a lot of the data and the studies that have come out in the last decade or two, then what you actually see is that they are much better tolerated, and they get much better they get much better responses when they're done early.
Mm-hmm.
And then they use chemotherapy as, you know, they kind of flip-flop the whole paradigm and use the chemotherapy as the last-line therapy and the immunotherapies as the earliest. But to speak earlier to fear, you know, that's obviously a huge, huge component of this. And I would be remiss if I didn't lift up my wife, Ty, because she's really the part of Worldview Wellness that walks our clients through a lot of the personal times and you know, a lot of the fear and the questioning and all of that. And that's one of the things that I think makes Worldview Wellness a little bit different, is that I'm the clinical guy and I'm looking at the tests and I've been trained in that model to support the terrain. But Ty's the one, and she's also been trained. They've actually got a training program for the advocates through the Metabolic Terrain Institute of Health, and Ty's been through that training. And so she's really good at communication and encouragement and prayer and all of those things. So,
yeah.
Well done, honey.
There you go. Well, I mean, that's the holistic that we're talking about, the whole person. Which I mentioned earlier, we're not just a physical body. If we were, that'd be one thing, but if we're really a spirit being, and as believers, I know y'all are, you know, you've got to consider that. And that spirit of fear, which has been just on a rampage,
mm-hmm.
well, since the beginning, I guess, but the past 2 years in particular, with the whole COVID thing, fear just overwhelmed everybody, including policymakers, decision makers, doctors, the whole healthcare system. And if you don't have that heavenly perspective and keep things in the right order and understand that spirit's been defeated.
Yep.
We don't
Amen.
Have to submit to that. We got a few minutes left. I wanted any parting words, or, you know, I was going to talk a little bit more about Worldview Wellness too and kind of what y'all's dreams and visions are, but any last words, Kemp, for the audience, to encourage the audience out there on their journey?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's a no-brainer. I mean, if you've got to go that direction, if you have much problem, I would advise you to get a hold of Worldview Wellness and Dr. Ben Edwards and Micah Jackson. I appreciate you two people for what you do, and thank God that He caused our paths to cross.
Don't want to put you on the spot.
it's been a journey. There's a lot I'd do different if I could. But one thing that's really opened up a lot of people's eyes on what they need to do, I think. And Terry's really setting an example. I'm kind of lost for words. Imagine that.
That's all right.
But what he's gone through is actually given people hope. I'd said before, if he had been instantaneously healed, which I know God does that, it would have impacted people, but not the way his journey has, because they can see hope.
Mm-hmm.
That if they have come down with that dreadful disease, that there is something they can do about it.
Amen. Yep. Well, and that's why we do what we do, is to inform people. That true informed consent. Know what all the options are. You're the boss. You're in charge. A wise man seeks much wise counsel. And then ultimately submit it to the Holy Spirit. Pray on it. If you're a believer, like I said, which I know y'all are, then you let peace be your barometer. And you follow that. And if fear is coming into the mix, we better pause, take a time out, and address that. And then can hear more clearly from the Spirit of Truth on what way to go. So thank y'all for sharing. I know
you're welcome, and I'd like to say one more thing, if it's okay. I'd like to thank all the people out there that's been praying for me. I always feel like I can lean on your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I really feel like the success that I've had is credited to all the people that's been involved from day one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm kind of like her. I can't talk about that stuff, so I don't get it. I'm trying not to lose myself, but I can't hardly keep from it. Yeah. But my church family that I haven't even got up and said much to, you know, because I'm not a talker. I know it don't probably sound like it now, but I'm going to have to try to learn to be, because I'm telling people of the success that I've had and giving God the glory.
Amen.
There you
go.
And you've got a story to tell.
Yes, I do.
To give him the glory and to give people hope, especially in a time like this in the world when so much is dark and seems not hopeful, but we get reminded there's always hope, and we know who's overcome the world. And you know, I'll say conventional medicine would just call this spontaneous remission, or just, you know, who knows what they'd say, but so that's fine. We'll call it a spontaneous remission.
He's getting there.
Yeah.
His latest scan, there were a lot of different sites of metastasis that are not there anymore. So he's not out of the woods yet, but I couldn't be happier with how he's done.
Me too.
Yeah. 1.25.
Yeah, PSA went from over 5,000 to 1.25.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty incredible. Well, spontaneous versus you stewarding your terrain, and including the spiritual terrain.
Miracle from God.
Yep.
That's all it. Nice. Amen. Michael, we got a couple minutes left, I think. Just wanted to give you the opportunity, maybe share a little bit about Worldview and what y'all are doing, and kind of what your future is looking like there. And I think you kind of touched on why you're doing it, but anything you'd like to share in the closing minutes?
Sure. Well, worldviewwellness.com is our website. If you want to text or call, it's 806-239-2559. We do complex chronic illness, cancer. We do general wellness visits for somebody that just wants to get some good recommendations as far as lifestyle but doesn't want to go in anywhere, and we can do that all from the courtesy of your own home. We just want to be available where God puts us. You know, ultimately, we don't have any big grand plans, but we just felt called to do this, and we want to be available to the people that that want to steward their own health and that want to choose for themselves a different option than what standard of care can provide for them. Whether that's cancer, whether that's complex illness, whether that's wellness, we want to be there for anybody that wants any of those things.
Yeah. Well, thank y'all, and praise God for y'all too, giving an alternative route for people to choose. I think we still have enough freedom here in this country where we can still choose what we feel like is best for our health and our family's health. Again, I want to mention, you can go back on the podcast page, kind of complimentary to this episode would be Nasha Winters. Interviewed her July 13th and 17th. That's on VeritasMedical.com under resources and the podcast archive page, or on iTunes, You're the Cure. You can go back on there and find it. And also Alyssa Perez, the stage 4 ovarian. That was February 21st to 22. And we archive this show too. It'll be on there on VeritasMedical.com for the future generations to hear. It'll be on iTunes, You're the Cure. And we'll be back next week with another great show. Again, I'll be down in Midland tomorrow evening at 5:30. Far West Coffee, Simply Midland, I believe, was the website. You can go on there and get more information. Thank you, Micah. Thank you, Kemps, for being here.
Thank you.
What an encouragement y'all are to a lot of people. So, and obviously, thank you, God, for the opportunity to walk in the light, walk in the truth. And we're supposed to be that light, a city on a hill. Y'all are part of it. As a body of Christ, and everybody out there praying for these guys. Thank y'all for your prayers for Micah, for me. I know a lot of folks pray for Veritas and appreciate that. God will continue to bring His kingdom here on the earth. Wade, thank you for the airwaves to speak truth out into the world.
You bet. And you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, M.D. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.